your Bibles, Luke chapter number 2, we'll begin our reading in verse number 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. We'll look at the man Simeon this morning. He's often put together with Simeon and Anna, and they both are in this passage of Scripture. Lord willing, tonight this morning I'll bring a message on Simeon, and tonight I'll bring a brief message on Anna. Our Christmas cantata this evening centers around those two characters. I think it's good to know them going into it, and besides that, some beautiful things God gives us in His Word regarding the man Simeon. This morning, Luke chapter number 2, we'll begin reading in verse number 25. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." We look today at this man, Simeon, and this story and this encounter. The setting is this: Mary and Joseph, being faithful, obedient followers of Jehovah God, they make their way to the temple to bring baby Jesus to be blessed. Jesus fulfilled every point of the law that he might be the true Messiah. And God used Mary and Joseph and their faithfulness to help Jesus fulfill his plan and his work as the Messiah. And so they're being obedient and they come to the temple. There's a man that's been at the temple, as far as we can tell, for some time. We assume that he's an old man. His name is Simeon. And Simeon is a man that's devout and just and loves God. And God's spoken to him and said, "Hey, look here, Simeon, I want you to know something. Before you die, you're going to see Jesus. You're going to see the Christ, the Messiah, the one that's been promised, the one you've been waiting for." And sure enough, the day that Jesus was carried in the arms of his mother and father, Mother Mary and Joseph, his earthly man figure father — we know God is his father — when he's carried into the temple that day, Simeon lays eyes on Jesus, the Christ child. And immediately God witnesses to his spirit and lets him know, this is him. This is the one. And we see this encounter, we see this story, and there's some beautiful things here that God gives us in His Word. The first thing I want to bring to your mind and your attention as we study this man Simeon is his person. God has some interesting things to say about Mr. Simeon, and he's quite the guy. The Bible says in verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Tell us about Simeon. The Holy Spirit says, here, I'll tell you about Simeon. Simeon was just. The word just is a beautiful word. The word just means that you are justified. It means that you're the kind of person that says, you know, I'm not going to do something just because it's what feels right. I'm going to do something because I have come to find out that it is right. A just person makes just decisions. A just person makes decisions that make sense. And so Simeon was the kind of guy, he wasn't going to excuse error. He wasn't going to excuse sin. He wasn't going to be flippant about his decisions and about especially the way that he worshiped God. And he was just. In the Bible, the Bible says that Joseph was a just man. And when he was considering what to do with Mary, when he found out that she was going to have a baby, the Bible says he was just and was not willing to make a public example of her. That just means that Joseph was the kind of guy that wanted to make sure that he wasn't acting out in the flesh, well, wanted to make sure that he wasn't doing the wrong thing. He was just. He wanted to make sure that his actions, his intentions, his words were justifiable. I'll just tell you something, that's a notable characteristic of Christian people. Be sure you're the kind of Christian who wants to live a just life, that the things you do make sense, that you don't just act out in foolishness or in the flesh, but you make sense. He was just. The Bible says not only was he just, but he was devout. The scripture says in verse number 25, Simeon, the same man, was just and devout. Now, what does it mean to be devout? If you're devout, that means you are committed. We hear people talk about being a devout Christian, about being a devout Jew, about being a devout, and you fill in the blank. Devout is a very important thing. You have devotion to it. You are connected. It has a literal idea of holding on to it. And Simeon was devout. He was a devout Jew. He was devout in the fact that he believed the Old Testament law. He believed the Torah. He believed Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He believed that, and he was honoring the Lord and studying God's word. As a devout man, he was reading the law and attempting to keep the law. And as a just and devout man, do you know what began to show up in Simeon's heart? As a just and devout man, what began to show up in Simeon's heart and mind was, you know what? I don't care what the Pharisees say. As hard as I try, I can't keep the law. He began to understand that as he studied the laws, he tried to obey the laws, he tried to do the right thing, as he was faithful in the temple, as he tried to obey Moses, he realized something. I'm a sinner. I can't keep the Ten Commandments, much less all the other hundreds of commandments. And being a just and devout man, do you know what it did? A man that was honest, he was studying God's word. God was real, the law was real, was inspired by God. But studying the law and becoming a devout follower of Jehovah God and having the Old Testament in his hands, do you know what it drove him to? It drove him to the fact that God must send a Messiah in order to complete his word. And do you know what Simeon did? A just and devout man. He stopped trying to excuse his sin and cover it with the rags of religion. He stopped trying to hide the fact that he was imperfect. He stopped trying to protect his old religion. And he began to see and understand that there was something more, and what he must do in light of the fact that he was a devout and just man, he must look for the coming of the Messiah that God and his word had promised. But it seemed like his peers, the Pharisees, had tried to just ignore. They liked their pomp and circumstance. They liked their ritual. They like their garb. They like their standing in society. But Simeon said, I don't care where I stand with men. I want to be right with God. And the Bible said about Simeon that he was just and devout, waiting. You see what the scripture says there? Verse 25, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He says, the more I study the Old Testament, the more I realize that Israel needs somebody to console them. The longer I study the Word, the more I am in tune with the Holy Spirit of God, the more clear it is that there must come a Messiah, there must come a Savior. And God spoke to Simeon and said, hey, listen, before you die, you're going to see the Christ that you've been waiting on. I love the word waiting. I love the truth of waiting, but I hate the experience of waiting. How many of you can say amen to that? I hate waiting. I want it all, and I want it now. I'd make a good slogan for some company, I guess. I don't like to wait. You know what we're tempted to do in seasons of waiting? By the way, any time in the Scripture that you meet God's people waiting, it's always positive. If you're waiting on God, you're waiting on something that is perfect, and you're waiting for the perfect time, you're waiting for the perfect thing, you're waiting for the perfect opportunity. So wait patiently in faith. Every time in the Bible you meet somebody waiting, the end result is great. But you know what we're tempted to do? In our seasons when we must wait, we're tempted to act out in sin. May we not be guilty of that. Let's learn something from Simeon today. He was waiting on the consolation. He was waiting in faith, not acting out in sin, not excusing sin, not ignoring sin. He was waiting on the faithfulness of God. What a man. Just, devout, waiting on the consolation of Israel. Look what the Bible says in verse 26. The Bible says, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, what God promised Simeon is quite amazing. I don't have any record in the Bible that God promised this to anyone else but Simeon. But God promised to Simeon, he said, if you'll wait on Jesus, you will see Jesus and you'll meet this Christ. Hallelujah, it's good. And God kept his word. Let me tell you something beautiful about this gospel church age that we live in today. Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins on the cross. Jesus Christ was buried in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he rose victoriously. He is seated on high. He ascended into heaven. He sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And because we have this glorious gospel, we have a complete revelation. Simeon was promised by God. God said, Simeon, you'll see Christ. If you wait on Christ, you'll see. I want you to know something. The same promise that Simeon has, I experienced today. And if you're a child of God, you can have it too. We're promised, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. We're promised. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hey, folks, God has spoken from heaven to all of us. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. And upbraid. Let me tell you something. The same promise that God gave Simeon, if you'll wait on Jesus, if you'll seek Jesus, you'll find him. It's ours to have today. You're in a season when you don't know what to do, where to turn. I say unto you, don't act in sin. Wait in faith, knowing that God will meet your needs. God promised Simeon, hey, before you die, you'll see the Christ. God promised you and me that while we live, we can live constantly in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We have him with us always. Isn't that wonderful? What a Savior. Simeon, his person. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God. What happens here? Tell me about Simeon. While he was waiting and obeying, God brought him the light, which was Christ. Now, this is fascinating to me. What brought this all together? Here's the story. God had spoken to Simeon in private and said, hey, before you die, you're going to see the Messiah. We don't know how long Simeon had been waiting, but God had promised that that would be the case. Now, so we've got Simeon, if you can imagine, Simeon is walking toward the temple. Here's the temple. Then we've got Adam and Eve. Wrong couple. Mary and Joseph. Now we have Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph are on their way to the temple. I want you to know what happens here. Do you know what brings this whole party together? Obedience. All the pieces of the puzzle come together in one spot because Simeon, who had been promised, if you'll be faithful and wait on the Messiah, you'll see him before you die. Simeon, the Bible says, led in the Spirit, goes to the temple. What's Simeon doing? He's just obeying God. Does he expect to see Jesus today? He doesn't know, but it could happen. But he's just obeying God. And Simeon, like he's done in the past, he goes to the temple. And he's obeying the Lord. Lord, maybe today's the day. Nonetheless, you led me to the temple today. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do what you've told me to do. Mary and Joseph, mine, Mary and Joseph, they have all kinds of stuff going on in their hearts and minds. You can't imagine. A bunch of crazy shepherds showed up just yesterday or so, telling us about angel hosts and singing songs. And this thing's weird. But Joseph and Mary said, we don't understand all that's transpiring with this baby. But I'll tell you what, we know what we're supposed to do. God's words made it plain that we're to take this baby to the temple on the eighth day, and we're going to do it. So two groups of people obeying God converge in one spot. Why do you say that, preacher? Here's what I want to say. Obedience to the light that you have is what brings you to the perfectness of God's will over time. I didn't know that I'd be a preacher. As a teenager, God stirred in my heart about serving Him. And you know, all I knew to do was just whatever was right today. And to the best of my ability, with God's help and failing many times along the way, I just tried to do what was right. And as you do what's right today and what's right tomorrow, and you obey God and you're trying to be faithful to the Lord, guess what happens? His light is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. His word does that for you. And He guides you each step of the way. And you end up through the steps of obedience in God's perfect plan. And so Simeon obeyed God and got what God had promised and what thrilled his soul. And Mary and Joseph, though they had so many questions, they honored and obeyed God and they followed God each step of the way, and God brought them to the place where they ought to be. And the same is true for you and I today. I don't know who I'm going to marry. I don't know how I'm going to get a new job. I don't know where I'm going to go to college. I don't know. I'm talking to young people. Then let's talk to older folks. I don't know how I'm going to pay for college. I don't know how I'm going to survive this. I don't know how I'm going to overcome this burden and that. I'm going to tell you something. If you're a child of God, you do not have to know the end from the beginning. All you have to do is get up today and say, Lord, this is what I know I can do today. And do it with all your heart and glorify God and obey Him. And obedience day after day leads to the perfect will of God. These people obeyed God. Simeon obeyed God, and he got what God wanted for him. Mary and Joseph obeyed God, and God began and continued to put the pieces together. That's how God works. That's how God works. His person, what a guy. What a guy Simeon is. Number two, his praise. I want you to notice something about this story. And you'll notice it, especially once I bring it to your attention. But from this point forward, Simeon, he fades into the background. In the presence of Jesus, Simeon fades in the background, and this baby Jesus comes to the forefront. It's that what happens. You see, we meet his person, but then we see his praise. Immediately, Simeon begins to praise God and worship Jesus. And we see some things that he has to say about it, which is beautiful. The Bible says in verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. This story of Simeon and what happens here as Jesus takes center stage, it encourages me. I heard the story one time about two very able preachers in London many, many years ago. And the story goes like this, the way I can remember it. A couple preacher boys decided to make their way to London to hear the great preachers. One was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and another, I don't even know his name. But they were both notorious. They were amazing orators and Bible preachers. They went to one church on Sunday morning, and they sat and they listened. And as they left the place, the two preacher boys, they said, "What a preacher. Wow." That evening, they went to the Metropolitan Tabernacle where Spurgeon preached. Spurgeon preached a powerful message from God's Word, and the two young boys, as they walked out of the service that night, they looked at each other, they said, "What a Savior. What a Savior." And I'll just tell you something, that's the kind of man Simeon was. He was the kind of man that when we see him talk, we lose sight of him and we begin to see in great detail and glory his Savior. May God help me to be that kind of preacher. May God help you to be that kind of Christian. You know what kind of guy Simeon was? When Simeon started to talk, all you could see was Christ. Look what the scripture says, his praise. The Bible says in verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. How long has it been since you thanked God for his son, Jesus? I'll tell you what, we ought to praise God every day for our Savior. I remember praying around my great-grandmother's bedside, and Bobby Dunn led us in prayer. And I'll never forget what God did and spoke to my heart as he prayed that day. He prayed just a simple phrase. He said, "Thank you for the treasures we have in Jesus." And the Spirit of God smote me at that moment. And I thought, wow, what we have in Jesus. It's amazing. It's unsearchable. How long has it been since you thanked God for Jesus? We ought to thank him, praise his name, that he loved us enough to send us a Savior, that we don't have to die and go to hell. Well, the Bible says in verse 29, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." You know what fascinates me about this? This is the first account that I know of where the presence of Jesus took away the sting of death. What did Simeon say? Simeon said, "I've seen Jesus." And he looks to heaven. He says, "I thank you, God, for Jesus." And he says, "And I can die and depart in peace because I know Jesus." Let me tell you something wonderful. We're all going to deal with death. We've dealt with it this year. We'll deal with it next year. Some of my dear friends have dealt with it this week. But I want you to know something. Because we have a Savior, we have the privilege to depart in peace. And Simeon started the train of praise that says, look, we don't have to fear death because we have a Savior. The Bible continues in verse 30. "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." You know, folks, we're looking for rescue. Our hearts are burdened. The load is heavy, and we're looking for ways to offload the cargo. We're looking for opportunities to relieve ourselves of the weight. But I want you to know there's only one salvation. There's only one place to get salvation. And Simeon says it just exactly right. He praises God. He says, "I'm looking to God talking." He says, "Thank you for thy salvation." If you're looking for salvation in anything else, you're looking for salvation in an area, in a spot that is inferior and unable to meet your needs. But if you'll look to heaven, you can embrace and have thy salvation, salvation that comes from God. Verse 31, "which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." What'd he say? He says, God, you've prepared a Savior. For who? All people. Now this was unusual to come out of a Jew's mouth. It took Peter literally months, perhaps years, to come to the place where he agreed to preach the gospel and accept converts out of the Gentile lands. But God had been working in Simeon's heart. And Simeon, while Jesus was just a baby, said, "Hey, I know something about this boy. I know something about this Messiah. He's going to make it possible for all men to get saved and have hope." Simeon was in touch with God. He's praising the Lord that all people would have salvation. Verse 32, he says, "a light to lighten the Gentiles." He says, if you didn't understand all people in the verse before, let me say it again. "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel." What was his praise? All Simeon could think about was, let's just lift up Christ. Let's lift up Christ. I'm going to take just a brief parenthesis in the message, because I want to share with you something. We'll get right back to it. I'm aware of the time. The bells played a long time, and I expected them to. But let me tell you a little parenthesis. This is free, but it's right here in the passage, so it's perfectly acceptable. Look what the Bible says in verse 33. "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." What's going on in Joseph and Mary's mind? They're like, dude, what? What's happening? If you look back in the same chapter, verse number 19, "the shepherds have come declaring their great story of angel hosts and finding a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes." And the Bible says regarding that moment, verse 19, "but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." What's going on? Mary and Joseph are parents. And they're thinking, how in the world are we going to do this? What's going on? How many of you, as parents, this is a parental parenthesis in this message. How many of you parents have ever looked at your children and thought, what have I gotten myself into? I don't know how to do this. It's funny and serious and scary all at the same time. So did Mary and Joseph. So did Mary and Joseph. In this parental parenthesis, when you are in wonder and you're pondering in your heart and marveling and thinking, what in the world is going on here? I want to just remind you of what Mary and Joseph did. In the same chapter, verse number 27, Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, this is a little bit of repetition, but I want you to get the application. What did Mary and Joseph do? They did what they knew was right. They kept their kids in church the best they knew how. They brought them to the Lord. They personally, as parents, obeyed God, and God produced out of that home the Savior of the world. So just keep doing what's right. Look what else. It doesn't stop there. In verse number 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. What was his parents doing? They were holding a baby, wondering. They didn't know what to do. But all they knew to do was what God had showed them at that time. And they obeyed God and they were faithful to God. And they did not excuse their sin. They obeyed God and kept God first. And God gave them clarity on how to raise their children. That's free. Point number three. In the life of Simeon, his person, his praise, and thirdly, his prophecy. What's he prophesying? The scripture says in verse number 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. We could spend a long time here, but we're not going to. Simeon begins to prophesy, and he looks at Mary and he says, listen, Mary, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Most people believe the fall is you fall over the rock of ages in conviction, and you rise in faith and salvation. There are other opinions, but I lean more towards that. And Simeon says, look, Jesus is going to cause many people to fall under conviction and come to faith in Christ. And that's positive. This is negative. And for a sign which shall be spoken against. He's going to be a sign. He's going to be a miracle. And his miracles are going to be spoken against. Not only were they spoken against when he was doing them, but they're spoken against even today. Whole churches, a denomination, stand against the miracles of Christ. And Simeon prophesied, Jesus is going to cause a lot of people to get saved, and there's going to be a lot of people who are going to deny his glory. He continues to prophesy in verse number 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He looks at Mary. And he says, a sword will be pierced through your heart. That. It was going to be sorrowful. It was going to be difficult. He says, but it has reason and purpose. You know, there's no painless way to serve the Lord. He said, there's going to be a sword that's pierced through your heart. That. So that the hearts of many will be revealed. What's that look like? I'll tell you what it looks like. God was giving Simeon a glimpse of something that would happen 30-some years later. Jesus has been cruelly tried and mocked and scourged and tortured. And he's hung on a cross, nails driven into his innocent hands and feet. He hangs between heaven and earth, and there at the cross stands his mother. Can you imagine? The boy that had never done anything wrong. She knew him. He was perfect. He loved everybody. He hung between heaven and earth, and she stood at that cross. And she would testify to the sword that pierced through her soul. And as she stood there and the sword pierced through her soul, guess what was happening all around? The thoughts of the hearts of men were being revealed all around. The cold heart of Herod had rejected Christ. The cold heart of Pilate had rejected Christ. The warm heart of a thief that hung on the cross accepted his love and grace and mercy. The sword pierced through her soul, but the hearts of men were being revealed. The disciples were beginning to understand and see, and they were accepting the Savior. No doubt there were soldiers that day that accepted the Savior and others who said, no, no, no. Their hearts were revealed. They got a fresh glimpse of Jesus. And their hearts were revealed. Today, some of you are here and you're hearing maybe for the first time this story that Jesus Christ loves you and he died on the cross for your sins. And you must personally pray and receive Christ by faith as your Savior in order to have everlasting life. And we stand at the foot of the cross this morning and you have an opportunity to accept or reject Christ. I got saved many years ago. I asked Jesus to come into my heart, forgive my sins. He made it clear that I needed him. I'm so glad I said yes to Jesus. What does the sword pierced through Mary's heart, the vision of a Savior, what does it say to you this morning? I pray it says to you, I need him, and that you will receive his free gift of salvation. If you're here today and you're a Christian, but you've lived in rebellion towards God, you've turned your back on God, you're not living in obedience like you have in the past, I pray as we stand at the foot of the cross that a fresh glimpse of Jesus will remind you of the condition of your heart. Simeon, God used Simeon in a mighty way to exalt Jesus. What will you do with Jesus? I pray you'll make him King and Lord of your life.